We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Every month we talk with cellist and Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen about music and life in a segment that we call On That Note. This month we reach Robert at his home in England via Skype to learn about a new musical experience he recently had. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Bonnie. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing quite well. We were talking before we turned on the microphone about our last conversation, which was about creativity and where you find it and how you nurture it as a musician. And you talked about, you mentioned improvisation, which a lot of people don't think of classical music as having any space for improvisation. Although I think that's interesting because, and you and I have talked about this before, there is a long tradition, at least in solo concerti, of the soloist having an opportunity to do a cadenza. Weren't they originally meant to be improvised, not written out?
Yes, but actually also they were written as well. So I think there's a kind of combination. Some composers probably just said, you know, get on with it, do your thing. And others were quite more specific about what you should play. But I think the experience of improvising, not in the way that, you know, we as classical musicians, we improvise in the sense of this creativity, this kind of space where you can interpret the music the way you want to within the guidelines of the composer's instructions. But I had a really interesting experience, fascinating experience recently, because I invited my dear friend, the wonderful musician, cellist Joseph Luptak from Slovakia, to come to give a kind of workshop with my studio, my class at the Royal Academy of Music in London, because he has an amazing background in all sorts of different kinds of music. He grew up playing in rock groups and jazz and folk music. And although classical music is predominantly his main track, so to speak, he's had continues to have so many experiences with different kinds of music and musicians from all around the world, and has that amazing festival in Bratislava called Convergency. And I invited him to come and do this class, his workshop, basically so that my cellist students could see where life as a musician can go and how it doesn't just have to be a classical track like I have, which is, you know, to play recitals and concertos and chamber music in basically the classical repertoire in that genre, but to see how a musician can also really cross into so many different areas. And Joseph is a perfect example of that. And he also decided to do this workshop on improvisation, because improvisation is so much a part of all of those types of music, which of course are not written down. I mean, very often, you know, folk music and jazz and so on are just passed on by ear, and
I was gonna
it's
say,
played
you,
by
you,
ear.
You learn it by ear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he wanted us to experience that in order for us to feel that, you know, just a touch of what other worlds might be like. And so he did a whole series of sort of exercises with us. And I have to say, none of us had really done improvisation before. I mean, I've done tiny little bits here and there, but never really involved myself in it. And none of my students had really done anything either. So we were well out of our comfort zone. And I think that was a brilliant experience. He asked us in small groups, to like three cellists at a time, to create something spontaneously just for a few moments, and then for another of the trio, as it were, to respond to it spontaneously, either as a sort of complementary sound or as something opposing in some way. And he led us through various of those exercises. And it was fascinating how it brought out moods in us and how we had to try to translate those directly into sound through kind of the emotions, through inflections in the sound, and to communicate between each other in totally spontaneous ways without any music in front of us. We're so used to having the music in front of us and communicating with that music and understanding the boundaries. But when there are no boundaries, where there is literally nothing in front of you, you just have to make a sound. And it can be a beautiful sound or an ugly sound, or it can be rhythmical, or it can be unrhythmic, or it can be actually anything, even tapping the instrument or making scrunchy noises or anything like that. And then somebody else has to respond to that in a way and to create something that follows on from that.
That's really interesting, because that's taking improvisation like at its farthest, because you're not even starting with a melody, it sounds like. You're not even starting with a basic folk tune that has a basic chord structure and there's a melody. And then you can, like a jazz musician or a folk musician, you can take that melody and play with it and improv on it. But you're starting literally from scratch. That's in some ways even harder, I think, than if he had given you a melody.
Well, he started off by giving us, he would play a single note or work on a single note. So it might be an A, which would suggest to us classical musicians that we were in either A major or A minor. And then one cellist would have to play against his note or against his rhythm. And then he would do something completely different for the next cellist. So that would be, maybe he'd be doing some sort of kind of rhythmic thing. And they would have to respond to that. And what I found fascinating was that each person doing something spontaneously showed me something about their personality that I recognized. And yet they were being very brave to play in front of the rest of the class and in front of me and Joseph spontaneously, something that was completely unscripted and clearly was going to expose them to, you know, some sort of judgment, they thought. But he set us up so beautifully, because what he did was he said, there's nothing you can do that is wrong. There are no mistakes in this kind of improvisation. Whatever you do is just another idea. If it surprises you, if it's what you think, if it comes out the way you expect, or if it comes out really differently, that's all fine. There are no mistakes. There are no issues. You just make sound. And I found that each cellist brought something of their personality out in a way. And sometimes they were really surprising as well. I found sort of that certain cellists who I don't feel necessarily are always very strong suddenly were very strong. And it was almost like opening a tap for creativity without all the constraints that we normally have and all the critical kind of self-investigating things that we're dealing with in classical music that we talked about last time. And so we followed that. And then he also asked us sometimes even just to play alone, each cellist alone, just expressing an emotion that we maybe had thought about in the last week. So think back over a week, think of some particular emotion that was very strong for you, and now try to play that emotion mm-hmm. without anything in front of you. And it was really fantastic how people found their way to either be very emotional in a sort of happy way, or really, you know, tragic things that came out with the sounds. And we didn't try to do it for too long, because I think that would have been, we would have become really self-conscious about the kind of trying to keep the thing going. So it was really maybe just for half a minute at a time. I was just thinking of how incredibly happy I am when I'm in our Suffolk cottage that we also talked about last time, didn't we, Bonnie?
Yes.
And just that feeling of kind of elation in the quietness. And I just wanted to play something that expressed that elation. And it was just very open and free and singing and whatever the notes were. And it didn't matter. And it was just a way of saying it's okay to be a bit wildly happy.
Yeah.
and other people I know, because, you know, I know that there are things that happen in people's lives that are the opposite of that. They were sometime expressing deep sadness or loneliness or, you know, or fear or something like that. But it was just fantastic how that came through, how they were able to do this. And really, considering that we were all basically doing it for the first time, it was surprisingly successful. And Joseph had said afterwards he thought we were really brave, because often that when you're asked to play something which is just purely your emotion in front of other people, you can really clam up and get very self-conscious. But I felt there was a kind of atmosphere in the class, which I hope I engender anyway, which is this kind of openness and this sense of exploring in the music and its sense of being creative in this adventure of looking at what music has to offer. And maybe with that mentality, it was easier to deal with this kind of spontaneity.
Leaping off the cliff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The thing is, the great thing with these experiences is that it follows through to so many other things. So in the days after that, I mean, in the lessons I was giving to my students and talking to them about their experience, first of all, they absolutely loved it. And they really want to do it again. But also, each person kind of understood that, you know, that's one kind of improvisation, but it also follows into improvising within classical music, understanding how emotions, of course, the composer is asking us to play a melody with a certain type of emotion, but they can't dictate it. We have to interpret, we have to find our own reaction to the music. And therefore, that is really a kind of improvisation. You judge how you feel about the music because of the way you play it and the way you feel. For me, also, the experience of improvising with sounds in a totally unstructured way can actually make me feel more inventive in other types of classical.
Yeah, I would think it would. I know that the kind of improvisation you're talking about, where you're basically starting from zero and just seeing what happens. I mean, actors will do that too, where they'll come into an improv class, and it's to exactly do that, allow yourself to be free enough to just go wherever it is you need to go, and then when it comes time to saying the lines of Shakespeare, say, or whatever it is, you're doing exactly like what you just described. You know, you can dip into that. You know what that feels like.
It's a kind of extending your vocabulary in
yeah.
a way.
Yeah, I think so. And extending your emotional vocabulary as well as your technical vocabulary.
For people setting out on this journey in music, they haven't had the experience of pouring their heart out and on the stage year after year and going through these extreme emotional experiences in life and then reflecting that into their performances in music. I mean, I feel for me that it's fascinating to go through this improvisation exercise because it's just such a different way of playing the cello. And I can see that it gives me a certain freedoms, but those are experiences and feelings that I know that I can express from all these years of life experiences and performing experiences. But students starting out don't have that vocabulary. They don't have that experience of life or performing. And so I think this is pushing them to jump ahead, really. It's trying to get them to have more extreme vocabulary, more extreme experiences through another method which they can apply to classical music without necessarily having to have gone through all these years.
Right. They will.
It's a kind of shortcut.
It's a shortcut, yeah. It's a shortcut, but and they will get to that experience, but in the meantime, this is a way of finding it. Robert Cohen, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. And you and I will talk next in 2020, which seems very hard to believe.
Pleasure as always.
And best to you and yours.
Thank you, and you too.
Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen is an internationally renowned cellist. He joins us each month via Skype to talk with us in a segment we call On That Note.
Mm-hmm.